joy to be with you here on Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas. And the light is definitely shining in. I love it. I'm delighted, too, to see and hear all the children with us. So it's a good day. And Miss Catherine, as you know, made that little crossword puzzle. If you get it all right, you get a candy cane. All right? And I really want you to get a candy cane. So some of the answers will be kind of scattered throughout the sermon, so you have to listen. All right? Now, it has been so fun for me to see snow in Vancouver. Now, I know it hasn't been fun to drive in, and I'm glad it all cleared away so that we could drive here today. But snow reminds me of Christmas, and I love it. My family and I used to live in Chicago back when our three boys were toddlers, and it snowed a lot and deep and for long periods of time. So I remember gathering together at Christmas and cuddling and staying warm and reading the Christmas story about baby Jesus being born, right? And one Christmas, a few days after actually, the snow thawed and melted. And we saw things in our backyard. And the boys looked out in the backyard and they saw a big sandbox. Wow! Look, someone built us a brand new sandbox. They actually played in it the summer before. I think the snow, it sort of blinded their memory, right? But they didn't care. They were delighted. Who built it? Could it have been Jesus? No, they decided. Jesus is way too tiny and little. He's just a baby. It must have been Grandpa, right? Well, it is true. Jesus did come to us little and pretty raw and amazing and newborn. God did come to us in the flesh, a human being. And God is so much more. So hear this word from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. O God, our Father, you have brought us again to the glad season when we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that his Spirit may be born anew in our hearts this day, and that we may joyfully welcome him to reign over us. Amen. All right, well, our scripture today is full of wonder, right? God, the Word of God, came to us as the Word of God, and God was the Word, and God was with us in the beginning, and God was God before anything ever began. Got it? There is a lot of wonderful mystery in all of that, isn't there? Eugene Peterson is a beloved pastor and author. He used to teach over at Regent College, and he writes that mystery is not the absence of meaning, but the presence of more meaning than we can comprehend. That's Christmas. It's amazing to receive, and it's more than we can take in all at once. So that's why we come together year after year, and we hear the same story, the Christmas story. Like many of us who gathered last night, we heard Anna and Will read the Christmas story. That's a hint for your crossword, by the way. Trick question. But it's also why we gather here today, to hear about this God who became flesh to live among us. Now, in Scripture, we're given a hint that not only would Jesus be born, but he would be a light for the whole world. And God sent someone to tell us about Jesus, to prepare us for his coming. And this man's name was John. Now, we don't get a whole lot of information about John. We don't know who his parents are. We don't know his hometown. We don't know where he was raised or born. We don't know anything about him, except that he was John, sent by God to tell everyone about Jesus, right? Now, when we qualify ourselves in this world, we like to think we're up to a given task based on our credentials, okay? So if I'm going to tell you about something, it's because I have a PhD in it, right? Or it's because I manage the company that I'm telling you about. Or it's because I have 3 degrees about all kinds of things, and I'm pretty qualified. It's because I was trained as a Jedi, okay? I am qualified to tell you all about this God who is coming, who already is, and who will be. John was simply qualified to tell us about Jesus because God sent him to do so. And so he did. And everything brings us to this day, this Christmas day, when God burst through the womb of his mother. But what you may not know is that John met Jesus before either one of them were ever born. Follow me with that, all right? So, John's mother was Elizabeth, and Jesus' mother was Mary. And when they were both pregnant, Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And the minute that the two met, John leaped for joy as Elizabeth touched Mary's womb. Right? Look at that joyful moment. You can tell that John just leaped inside of Elizabeth, and she felt it. Right? That is the moment when John knew Christ. There was no PhD required. There was no prior work experience necessary. It was that John knew Christ and met Jesus before either one of them had ever taken their first breath. God actually has met you, every one of you, before you ever took your first breath. Not only does God know us, but God is with us. Emmanuel. That Christmas morning that happened long ago happens for us here today. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, and God became flesh. I love this picture because that's a real man and a real woman and a real baby. God became flesh. Eugene Peterson likes to say that God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, our neighborhood. God didn't wait for you to come to him. God came to us first. So this Christmas, we are invited to receive the greatest gift, Jesus. He came to us as a child. He got born like every one of us got born. Most babies, when you see a baby, right, they light up your eyes and they light up your heart. This baby, Jesus, lights up the whole world. And getting born is no easy task, is it? It can be very painful. But the miracle of birth and holding a child in your arms is one of the greatest witnesses and the greatest thing that we can do. When Anne Lamott, the author, held her own baby boy in her arms, she's a writer, and she says, "He smelled like God." Right? 10th Church is walking alongside a refugee family. And they've recently received their status, as Dan mentioned. And they can remain in Canada safely. There's no danger of returning back to where it was unsafe. And many of you know that I had the privilege of being with them all day during their hearing. Their hearing was 6 hours long. Now, have you ever gotten nervous when you cross the border between here and Washington, when they start questioning you? Be honest, you have, right? "Well, Mrs. Bicey, why are you going to Blaine, Washington? Why are you coming back so soon? Mrs. Bicey, why did you pick up those two women from Seattle? They're my friends." I was afraid it was the wrong answer. And they were like, "Well, how come they both arrived at the same time?" "We planned it." All right. Now think about that. Think about how nervous you do get. This refugee family was getting questioned for 6 hours with only a few breaks. And not only that, but not in their own language. It had to be translated to them. And not only that, but they were sharing things far greater and far deeper and far more intense and fearful than whether or not I went to the airport to pick up a couple of friends. And at the very end, when the member who declared the verdict said, "You have been approved. You may remain in Canada. Welcome," they burst into tears and they hugged each other. And you have to know there's rules when you're in those little courtrooms. You're actually not supposed to, you know, be in contact with that who gave the verdict, right? With the one. And so the woman, the mother, just burst through the little door around and went around to where he was sitting, the one who gave this verdict, and she about knocked him over when she hugged him. And I saw him smile. And he said again, "Welcome." The attorney, who was like this the whole time, was giggling. And the little girl was coming up and showing him Peppa the Pig on her video. And he just laughed. They were exchanging cell numbers. It was like this huge celebration. I felt like we had just been present for a birth. And I wept like a baby. I remember when my three sons asked their dad once, "When was the time when you cried, Dad?" And he looked at each one of them and he said, "When you and you and you were born." They got a little sad. They were like, "Dad, really? It was a good day, wasn't it?" But we had to explain that it's the deepest kind of happy cry that you can do. After the refugee hearing, when I hugged the father, Sharar, he said, "This day, December 8th, will always be remembered as one of the best days of my family's life, just like a birth." And there they are, Sharar and Suzanne and Guli and Niara, your new Canadian citizens. We all knew that prior to that day of new birth, that there were great pangs of sadness and fear and despair, but hope broke through. Light came shining and life was given. And hope keeps on breaking through. God still lives among us. We often spend our lives looking for true love. God came today as true light, breaking through all darkness and piercing it with his love. And we know that in our world, there are some hard things happening. And we get that through social media. We get that through the news. And a lot of times, sadly, it's the shocking and horrible stuff that the news wants to give us. And we read it more and more. And sometimes that's all we're getting. But today's scripture wasn't written to scare us. It wasn't written to increase ratings or to get more likes or comparisons than anything else. It was written to point to goodness and grace and to give us life. It is good news. I received a Christmas letter this past week. And again, it was hard. I wanted to cry when I read it. This poor woman was writing and she was saying how she couldn't find much light in her life. And this was her Christmas letter. She said, with all the pain and all the suffering and the things that are happening in this world, I can't climb out. I received another Christmas letter from my former professor and friend, Dr. Peter Story. He was actually chaplain to Nelson Mandela for a time when Nelson Mandela was imprisoned at Robben Island. And Peter wrote about his own country now and the sadness and the darkness that has befallen it under its current leadership. So I'm reading these letters that are coming in, and both of those letters, as I kept reading, both of them remembered something. They remembered John. John tells us the message that one is coming and is true light for all. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It was a dark and unjust and broken world in which God long ago found a home. But the light breaks through, and God's light shines. Peter Story concludes in his Christmas letter, "Perhaps our hope will be found in the places where ordinary people are pointing to Jesus, where in small incremental ways new life is infused into broken people's circumstances, where the powerless are empowered, when people listen to life's realities with new ears. We need the light that is before us. We need to be able to see and to proclaim the hope in the midst of darkness." Well, in closing, let me just say that the gospel news didn't start with Jesus. It started with John telling us about Jesus. God depends on us to tell others about the good news of this great love. The world begs to hear it. And messengers from God may very well be the ones that I'm looking out upon today. You, messengers sent by God. No other qualification needed. God's word is enough. God became flesh for you. God helps us see things new. So I encourage you to look for signs of light around you and in this world. And notice that they're there. Not like my boys who had buried in their minds that sandbox under the snow so much that when the snow melted, they couldn't even remember that it had been there before. But it was. What's in your own backyard that you didn't know was there before? Let God's light help you see which you hadn't noticed before. Jesus is your new neighbor. He may not look like you, he may not be where you are from, but he's breathed life so that you might know true joy, true peace, true hope, true light. He breathes that you might know that the Word made flesh looks like Jesus, and he came so that you would not forget. He got born, birthed through pain and scandalous circumstances in the lowliest of places, among the least of these, Jesus being laid in the manger is like Jesus crying out to the world, "This is my body. This is my blood for you. Go tell everyone, like John before him, that Jesus Christ is born, and he is the light of the world for the world." Amen.